Here we go, the podcast with Pastor Cass. Necessary conversations. What up, though?
What's the deal, my G?
What's up, man? Back to back, are we back?
I don't know, man. But hey, listen, I'll take a streak. Is it a streak after two or three?
I gotta wait. We gotta wait to three before we call it a streak. Okay, but you know, we rolling. Can't be a streak without a start.
Right. Hey, I take two in a row. It's been a while since we done two in a row.
Yeah, that's why I wore my bad boy shirt back to back, baby.
Should have been a three-peat.
Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started, hamstring. So you know. That's a good start into that. Should have been, could have been, and so much more.
Mm-hmm.
First, quick little bit of house cleaning. Guys, I know it's been a while since we've been consistent and cranking them out. We're going to do our best to stay on it and keep sending them. But also, guys, send us some feedback. Come on, talk to us. ConversePastCast@gmail.com. Now I put the link in the podcast, like when you pull it up on your favorite listening, whether it be Apple Music, Anchor, Spotify, or Google, whatever it is, down at the bottom of the whole description episode, right there is email, so you don't even have to think. ConversePastCast@gmail.com. Appreciate the love. We're nearing 20,000 listens over our short time doing this.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
So that's going to be a fun little tip of the cap to you guys and your consistency in listening to us, and when we're on breaks, you still just jump back in and listen to old episodes to keep you going. So we appreciate that. And
we do indeed. 20,000 listens. That's awesome, man. Yeah. Congratulations, Justin. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're coming up on it soon. So yes, it will be we'll do something to celebrate. I haven't figured that out yet, but I think that shows consistency on our part, and more importantly, again, like I say, on you guys' part.
Yeah.
Faithful listeners and just enjoying what it is that we try to provide. What that is, you have to tell us. ConversePastCast@gmail.com. That being said, good to see you again. Enjoying it. And want to have a little bit of a conversation as I think it's a perfect conversation for one of the reasons I think we both started this podcast is to have some conversations that while you can address in the pulpit on whether it be on Sunday or Tuesday for Bible study, you can have a little bit more of the hair down conversation and really undress it at a time with social issues and things that aren't just traditionally pulpit and conversion of lives into Jesus' name type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like this is a necessary conversation, especially within the Black church, Black community.
Mm.
And you visit this a little bit in a Bible study a few weeks back.
Sure.
It was the 6/28 Bible study. So that would be June
28th. Mm-hmm.
You had a nice conversation on it. And it did show a very good point in this thing, because it's not really a political conversation as far as what we're about to go down. Like, we can have politics conversation. Me and you can talk politics all day. But that's not the goal of what we're trying to accomplish here. This is so much bigger than that. So if you folks haven't quite picked up what I'm talking about just yet, it's this Roe versus Wade, RV Wade, all of that stuff. I'm sure if you haven't been living under a rock, you understand that it was just overturned recently by the Supreme Court. And what I want to do before I get going with the questions is take a step back for those that aren't as quite familiar with the situation and understand what Roe versus Wade is. And if you want to dive into a little bit more, feel free to. Just going to give a quick gloss over as to Roe v. Wade was a 1973 case in which the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Constitution of the United States conferred the right to have an abortion. The decision struck down many federal and state abortion laws, which then fueled, obviously, an ongoing abortion debate in the United States, whether and to what extent abortion should be legal, who should decide the legality of the abortion, and then come the moral and religious views in this whole political sphere, what it should be. But this decision, back again in 1973, shaped this debate concerning the methods in which the Supreme Court should use in their constitutional education. So to set us up with the first question, just simply, where do you think that our legal system has the moral right, or should I better say the duty, to impose morals?
Well, depending upon who you ask, and the real question is, of course, how you define morals. But I feel like that's the whole reason you have a legal system, mm-hmm. is to impose morals, mm-hmm. to some degree. Mm-hmm. That's its job.
Okay.
You know,
that's the
job of a legal system, is to impose what the society or the group or the community, mm-hmm. deems as moral boundaries. Now, will the law impose the moral position of every individual? Mm-hmm. No. Right. And it wouldn't be expected to. In a place like the United States, where there's what we refer to as a pluralistic society, meaning, mm-hmm. different religion, different ideologies, different thought, like we all are agreeing to be together. Yeah. That's what causes the difficulty when we talk about, you yeah. know, right. our laws or the phrase legislating morality.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, when it comes into that then, so legally, where is the moral line as to, like you said, what morality is? Like, we're going to say that one thing is moral, and we all agree, but then something like murder, stealing, etc., that's illegal, and we all agree.
Mm-hmm.
So is it just because we all agree that we make it okay or not okay? Like, hey, we all agree slavery is okay because it's convenient to not have to pay employees. It's legal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really a moral, like, if we all agree, we can agree to move on, right?
So it's not consensus, but for the most part, the United States history has shown us that at least enough of us need to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That the either it is the consensus or there is a majority, enough of us believe something to be either right or wrong, or we're heading in the direction of that. But it doesn't. And again, we're talking about what definition of right are, mm-hmm. okay, right? We got to sharpen the conversation a little bit, because I think this is, yeah. what, you know, trips a lot of people up. Because ultimately, in a society and in a secular government,
yeah.
we all do get together and we get to decide what's right and, yeah. what's right for our society and, yeah. and what's right for our community or what's right for our group. We get to decide that. We get to create and establish some boundaries,
mm-hmm.
for morals,
right.
and in turn the laws that will enforce those. Like, we get to come up with them.
Yes.
You know, and enough of us believing a certain thing,
mm-hmm.
along with, and very practically, enough of us, or not just enough of us believing, but this truth, this behavior, or the absence of this behavior, we must believe it supports our view of what a flourishing and healthy society, yes. is.
Right.
Right. But if enough of us believe it, yeah, that can make it real.
Right. And this is going into maybe the biblical side of it with that, but like the people ruling themselves, mm-hmm. it's always kind of been a little bit of a slippery slope. Would you agree or disagree with that before I go, I guess?
I would agree.
Okay. Because like you said, what are we defining as moral? And so ultimately, kind of circling off of last week and into this, and I think ultimately what you're talking about in Bible study, what does this recent ruling point towards for us as a society?
It points towards a lot of things, forward and backwards.
Uh-huh.
Forwards and backwards. So let me take a step back, because I feel, of course, kind of the questions around the danger of, you know, where we derive our morality. Can, yes. you legislate, you know, yes. Morality? And what does that mean for like a secular government or a secular group of people to legislate, right. morality?
Yeah, because it's the whole conversation of morality is kind of what we're, one side is talking about rights versus morality. Like, it's a woman's right to do whatever, but then there's the moral thing of a life is a life. That's, mm-hmm. kind of the debate on that side of it. And it's like, well, where do we stop with that whole morality versus rights?
So there's a couple of things that I think is necessary to understand, and that's biblical or just even secular, you know, thinking, is I think we have to have some sort of framework for where, what morality means, where they come from.
Yes.
You know, and because that's really the debate to me right now, because you'll have some people say you can't legislate morality. That was even some people who were Christians saying why you shouldn't do Roe versus Wade. And I think that I personally think that's false.
Okay.
Like, I think you can and you do. The question is, which morals do you enforce legally? Like, I don't think it's that you can't do it.
Yeah.
It's which ones do you enforce?
Right.
And I think really the ones in certain sections of our society, the morals that are taboo, is they don't want the ones that you got from the Bible to be enforced through laws.
Okay.
But we enforce other morals that we get from other places through the law all the time. Okay. So I think it's where you've derived that definition of right or wrong that people really believe whether it should be enforced through the law or not. But if the law does nothing else, it enforces our moral standards. And even and every group has a means by which they enforce their moral standard. Even if it's not through a judge, a police officer in a jail, it could be through a Twitter campaign to get you kicked off your show.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it laws don't always just have to exist within some official framework.
Right.
They are rules. They govern behavior. They punish wrongdoing and reward. So every society and every group has them. So we legislate morality, even if it's not through...
on the paper of
through a court. A judge, police officers, and you know, in a prison.
Yeah.
We put rules and guidelines, and we punish and we set parameters for what our morals are as a group all the time. I think it is a cop out to the real discussion when someone says you can't legislate morality. No, you just don't want to have that conversation.
Right.
And debate the morality that's on the table. Mm-hmm. And I think we should. I think that's what's healthy. It's very hard in a pluralistic society. And that, and to the other point about people ruling themselves, that's really what the Supreme Court is supposed to be a check for.
Yeah.
Is just because the masses, right, the Supreme Court and things of that nature are supposed to be checks on the worst impulses of the masses. So the masses can believe something wrong. And the Supreme Court can say, well, technically, I know all y'all believe that, but interpreting the Constitution, this is what it says.
Yeah.
And historically, you have seen, and this, I'm working my way towards your question about where does this ruling point?
Yep.
Historically, you have seen the Supreme Court, if you study history, that has, they have made the mistake of agreeing with the masses. And you get like the Dred Scott case and Plessy versus Ferguson about the humanity and the personhood of black people. And you get them agreeing that we're three-fifths human and separate but equal. And you get these kind of rulings, right? Because it agreed with the consensus of the time.
Yeah.
But then also you see times where the Supreme Court goes and says, well, time out. I know everybody thinks this is wrong, but we need to go back and correct some of the mistakes we've made. And that's when you get Brown versus Board of Education.
Yeah.
Separate can't be equal.
Right.
You get, what is it, Loving, I can't, verse whatever in interracial marriage and things of that nature. You get them, they're ahead of, they're more progressive than the consensus in the rest of the country. And the rest of the country eventually catches up. So the Supreme Court is supposed to be a check on, you know, the masses if they have a bad or a wrong impulse. And, you know, however, I believe this decision points to the use of our Supreme Court in a way that hasn't been used before.
Okay.
So really, and again, I you have to stop me because I could take this conversation in many different.
It's so many ways. And I like where I feel like you're going. One, it was Loving versus Virginia.
Okay, that Loving versus Virginia.
That was that one.
Okay.
And that was about interracial marriage.
Yes.
You said that you wanted to discuss about this, so I want to let you keep going on.
Okay, you make sure I'm on task.
No, go for it. It's just that I'll interject because there's a spot I want to get to.
T- Tell me.
I'll interject though, because you're kind of saying it. I want to do it in a much more fluid way. Versus, it'll feel like I'm pulling you back. So just
pull me back, man. Come on, man. Why are we arguing, man? Let's get after it.
That's what we do.
Drive, right? Steer the ship, brother. You know I can go off for an hour about anything.
Yeah, well, that's half the fun too. But no, it's the when we're in agreeance and not agreeance, and then going in this our Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
But then it starts talking about, there's also the way our U.S. Constitution and things were written, where, because I've seen this debate on the U.S. Supreme Court, where our whole system of checks and balances, because there's mm-hmm. the court, the
legislative,
and executive branch. So there's the three branches where they're saying, well, the other two need to step in and get yep. on these justices for making this mm-hmm. going back and ruling against themselves.
Yep.
So what do you say to that with, like, well, that's the way the system's set up is, well, they check this, but then other two can come in and should come in and check them.
They can and they should. So it's funny, and I don't want to turn this into a history course.
Right, but you got to have some history understanding something.
You do. So all this, the legislative, executive, judicial, they're all supposed to be checks on right. each other. One of the more recent phenomenon, though, is the Supreme Court being the supreme check.
Right.
And it's not always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always been that way, but the way our Supreme Court is set up, and is very different from pretty much any other democracy in the world, where you have these lifetime appointments.
Yeah.
They, you know, they don't have term limits. Mm-hmm. You have these random times because somebody retired or died can have these different justices be selected.
And it just depends on who's in the White House who gets to select
them. Who gets to select them.
Yeah.
Because of the consistent nature, like, you get this court, you have these same actors for years upon years. You pretty much know what they're going to do. You know their view on the law.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes more political than it is judicial.
Because
here's the other part of it, that most, it's supposed to be judicial, right?
Right.
Where most of them aren't making judgments, they're making interpretations of the Constitution, which yeah. is something really different. And y'all stick with me here just a minute,
expound upon that.
Because it's a difference to believe that the Supreme Court are the ones that just have some sacred interpretation of the Constitution. And that's really what we're claiming our Supreme Court is doing. They're looking at the Constitution and they're saying that's a right you should have, or that's a right you shouldn't have. That's, you know, you have the legal ability or the legal right. The Constitution grants you the legal right to make that decision or not. Well, really, sometimes that misses the point.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're busy looking at the Constitution, they don't look at the case and say, what's just really the right thing for us to do right here?
Right, right.
Let's make a judgment on this.
Because that's exactly what they just did. They didn't say abortion's right or wrong. No. They said the Roe versus Wade was unconstitutionally ruled.
Yes, that there is no right in the Constitution to abortion. So states, they yeah. technically sent it back to the legislature. Y'all decide laws.
Yeah.
In each state to make this determination, because the Constitution doesn't, as opposed to being a judge and judging. You're a judge, yeah. not an interpreter.
Mm.
Like, in mm-hmm. my mind, that's one of the errors and issues that we're having with our Supreme Court, is they're interpreting, they're not judging.
Mm-hmm.
And once you know someone's kind of their legal lens, you know how they're going to interpret. That's why yeah. we can pretty much almost with, you know, I don't even know what the percentage is, like 95-96% certainty, know what the rulings are going to be.
Right.
And over time, they've realized that. So the judicial branch really isn't a check on the legislative. It is an extension of the legislative branch, who's ever in control, or executive yeah, branch, exactly. rather. It's an extension, because now they are playing out the politics of whoever selected them, because they don't judge, they interpret.
Right.
And to me, this points to one of many things, but in my mind, the two major things is, okay, do we stay in this game of the Supreme Court being a political body?
Uh-huh.
And they will lose all credibility, because before, you would do what the Supreme Court said to a degree, because you thought, okay, the judges decided this is what we do. Then we're getting into a space now where we yeah. recognize that's politics. That's not
yeah.
judgment. That's yep. politics.
Yep. Yep.
That's not, and you respond to it the way you respond to politics,
yep.
not judgment. Mm,
mm-hmm,
and so mm-hmm. now it just becomes strategy, as opposed to, okay, we pick people that we trust their judgment, They yeah. make their ruling. You agree or you disagree, and you move on and make your next move. I think that's one problem, and I think that breaks the legitimacy of the court mm-hmm. is because these people aren't judging, and people will respond very differently when they don't believe the Supreme Court is legitimate.
I mean, we saw how people felt on January 6th when they thought something wasn't legitimate in this country.
Listen, and you apply that to Supreme Court rulings, right? And you lose their authority because they are political players as opposed to judges.
Yeah.
That's one problem. And I think that that's one of the reasons why people were so up in arms about the Roe versus Wade ruling is not just that they disagreed, but mm-hmm. because it was a political move,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? And this and the judges simply played out the politics
yeah.
that put them in their seats to a T. And when the court loses legitimacy, you lose the checks and balances that are supposed to happen.
Right.
That's one thing. The other part is, though, it's possible that the other two branches begin doing what they're supposed to do. And instead of being ruled by the Supreme Court, they get checked by it.
Right.
So if the Supreme Court goes so far off the rails, they'll start doing things like, well, then let's add more justices.
Right, right. Well, let's add more. And, you know, that's one thing that's on the table.
Absolutely. Yep. Those are the sorts of things, if you look in history, that they would do.
Mm-hmm.
Like you talk about, you know, like, again, and I said I don't want to turn this into a history podcast, but those are like a lot of things that seem wild to us.
Yeah.
Happen in history all the time. Like the Supreme Court rules against that and they put the law in place anyway.
Right. Okay.
So do it anyway. Do it anyway. Yeah. Yep. That was y'all ruling. Okay. Cool. Appreciate your view. We're going to put this law in place and somebody can challenge it again. Right. Or the people agree with it and we roll. Like, or we'll add more Supreme Court.
Yeah, we'll add the ones that we know
justices.
Are going to agree to.
Yeah, I'm a Democrat, and I'm going to add, you know, two more justices to sway the balance of the court.
Yeah.
And rock and roll. Or we're going to put term limits mm-hmm. on you all, right? Where I, in essence, fight back and use my power to create a different kind of balance to what you're doing. Like, to me, that's... ideally, that's what happens, as opposed to the court just becoming an illegitimate body that is just an extension of politics. And I think we'll have some real problems in this country if there is no, because what you really need is, and it's almost like in a secular sense, you still need something sacred. Even secular uh-huh. communities need something that everybody deems as sacred to a degree.
Absolutely.
And the Supreme Court has generally stood in that place for us as a country, that whether you were Christian, atheist, Jewish, Muslim, agnostic, or whatever, yeah. the Supreme
Get
Court.
Get to the Supreme Court and that'll be your answer.
We viewed it as sacred.
Yes.
In essence, as kind of set apart from the rest of the mess that's going on around here.
Yeah.
And I think that's the real big...
We're losing our sacredness.
The sacredness, because it's an obvious extension of the mess that's going on
yeah.
around here. So you get people debating if Hillary Clinton had won mm-hmm. instead of Donald Trump, she gets to
right.
put the Supreme Court justices in that Donald Trump did. And he got to put in two, I think.
Uh-huh.
Right. And that changes the makeup of the court and you totally. Get very different rulings. So you draw the direct line to politics.
Right. Right.
Because we know what her justices would have done. Right. So mm-hmm. it becomes politics. It's not sacred anymore. They're not people that sit above the political fray, because that's why they were supposed to. They're not voted on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They don't have term limits. They can't get fired. That's supposed to make them sacred.
Right.
It's
right.
supposed to make them above the political fray. They can make rulings that are right and just because they don't have to worry about losing their job.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, right. if you're a Republican president and you appointed me, well, I'm in now. Right. You can't take me out. So
right.
I'm going to look at this case and make a right judgment.
And that's what you would think it would create.
Yes.
People can just be, you know, there's nothing that they have no, like you said, there's no re-election. So that whole pantering
yeah.
parties.
Yeah.
And
but that, and,
the
but
dollars.
That, absolutely. But that's the problem with interpreting the Constitution as opposed to judging.
Yeah.
Because you have an interpretive lens on the Constitution. You just do. Mm-hmm. And again, they have those different interpretations. You're a originalist. You're a literalist. A lot of the same way we struggle with interpretation of the Bible.
Yeah.
You struggle with interpretation of the Constitution. However, if I know your interpretive framework of the Bible, I could pretty much know how you're going to come away.
Any situation.
In any particular verse.
Yes.
Like, I don't need to know each verse. When I know your interpretive framework of the scriptures, pick out a verse. I'll tell you what Justin thinks about it with slight variations. Is he a literalist? Mm-hmm. Right. He takes the Bible literally. Okay, great. Right. So that's the problem, instead of them looking at facts of cases and making judgments.
Yes.
And this decision, whether you agree with it or not, whether you think it was a good thing or not, I think the one of the big fallouts from this will not be what happens with abortion. It will be the view of the Supreme Court.
Mm. Yeah. So that kind of falls into where it's like, because again, they went and revisited a case from the 70s.
Yeah.
I like to watch trends, and I used the phrase in the other question, and I want to use it again with slippery slopes.
Mm-hmm.
So like, can we go revisit Brown versus Board of Education?
Yes.
Can we, let's eliminate the 13th Amendment. You know, where does it stop?
Yeah.
If we're just going to start letting things go and there is no checks and balances.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, whose morality are we? What are we doing?
Yes. So there's a couple of things. So I just stick with the slippery slope. Whose morality? I want to get into that, though.
Yeah.
But the slippery slope, that is a lot of people's fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that is absolutely what's going to happen with these conservative justices. And that's not different. That's always been the case when you have either a liberal court or a conservative court. Liberal courts generally protect the legislative gains that have been made. So if you could pass a law protecting gay marriage because you got enough of a consensus, and you have a liberal court, they're just going to protect that.
Right.
Like, very seldom do they, and again, that's been new, but very seldom, it's not normal for liberal courts to make activist decisions.
Mm-hmm.
They protect the gains. If this is where we at, I'm going to make sure we don't go back.
Right.
We're conservative courts. They always trying to go back.
Mm-hmm.
They're always, because they believe somewhere in the past is where we
utopia
where we should have been. So affirmative action is absolutely going to be back on the table. Gay marriage could be, but they're going to make a law codifying it at a federal level. Like, again, I don't want to go back into
it, folks. That's just good word.
Because one aside, I want to take a step back when I was talking about the checks and balances between the Supreme Court and the other legislative branches.
Right.
So say in this Roe versus Wade decision, right? Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court, like you mentioned, has simply said the Constitution doesn't give somebody a right to abortion.
Right.
The legislative branch can go, the Constitution don't have to give anybody a right. We'll just make it a law.
Right.
We'll just say federally, this is the law, that this is what should happen. That's the check. All right, well, I don't need the Constitution to say. The Constitution doesn't say everything we make a law for.
Yeah.
So thanks for your ruling on that. We're going to make this federal law.
Right.
And like for gay marriage, that's up, and they think that they may pass.
Okay.
So it's certain that the Supreme Court can't undo it, because gay marriage, right to contraception is on deck. Affirmative action is on deck.
Yep.
Essentially, and y'all got to know y'all history. Essentially, everything going back to the 14th Amendment, not the 13th Amendment.
Yep.
Everything going back to the 14th Amendment is potentially on the table.
Correct.
And if you really know, the history of politics in America isn't always all about black people, but it hinges on black people.
I'm so on train with that because I want you to, and I believe you touched on it in the Bible study class, but for our listeners and people who missed that, 14th Amendment, the importance of the 14th Amendment.
Yes.
We always talk about the 13th, but the 14th, just as important.
It is. So the 13th Amendment is what abolishes slavery.
Right.
The 14th Amendment is what grants rights to all citizens, including formerly enslaved people. Now, this is so the 13th Amendment say y'all free.
Yep.
Except if you commit a crime, which
you
get mass incarceration. That's a whole other story. But just because we're free does not mean you'll get to live.
Correct.
Live free. So now you have to put the 14th Amendment into the Constitution. And really what the 14th Amendment was, is it was put into the Constitution as a stipulation for the Southern states that had seceded during the Civil War to come back into the Union and to be able to govern themselves. We say, okay, to let y'all back in, we got to put this 14th Amendment in to guarantee y'all don't make slavery again by any other name. So you get right to due process. You get right to liberty and your property and all these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And here's the challenge. Those things were put in place very specifically because of the way this country had treated black people.
Correct.
And because this country in, at the time knew that the humanity of black people was questioned. They're three-fifths. We don't believe that they're human, and we don't believe that they should be treated the same as the rest of us, right?
Right.
That there is a different class of human being. The 14th Amendment addresses things that aren't really concrete. Mm-hmm. It says things about liberty and life and things like due process I think it says any state should not deprive a person of life, liberty, or process, right? And life and liberty. And now, so it was necessary because black people weren't given those things. Mm-hmm. But guess what? It's in the Constitution, so it applies to everybody.
Right.
So the 14th Amendment is really what so many of these decisions are based upon, is because to say you're going to decide how I have sex, who I can marry, whether I have a baby or not. The right to contraception, was right before the right to abortion. Because in principle, they're the same thing. Yeah. I get to decide whether I want to have a baby.
Correct.
Now, that's my personal life and liberty that the 14th Amendment guarantees. Look, forget abortion.
The old school saints? They didn't even believe in condoms. That was
No. They didn't. That's abortion, why they had big families.
That was abortion in a different way.
Yes, by any other name. So the 14th Amendment that grants this kind of fuzzy, idea of the direction of my life and my liberty, that really was reserved for a particular kind of racism that black people faced, has now been extended into all these other different areas to grant different kinds
of the coattails of black people.
It happens all the time. And it honestly throws a monkey wrench in how this country is supposed to work. One of the reasons why people act like America is such trash compared to other countries, the reality is very few countries are truly, truly a multiracial, multi-ethnic
correct
democracy to the degree that the United States is.
Absolutely.
People always love talking about the Nordic countries, Sweden and Norway and Finland, like they're these utopias. That's just because they all white. Let enough Africans immigrate there and watch how that go down. It's not going to play the same, because one of the challenges of Constitution and judgments is the presumption that we are all pretty much the same thing. Yes. Going in the same direction with the same definitions of good.
Yes.
And when you put groups of people that have either diametrically opposed views of good in the direction or diametrically opposed views of each other, it's a much more combustible and a much more difficult machine to move forward.
Correct.
But the reality is, to your question, the short answer is all of it's back on the table.
Yeah.
All of it's back on the table. I think affirmative action is going to come up really soon. And the ability to make decisions based upon affirmative action will be gone. Mm-hmm. Will be gone, right? So that does point to that, but it's politics.
Okay. So this is kind of shifting from that, because I kind of want to go on this other spot and then come back to, again, our morality, so we can really put that into the spiritual lens of the conversation. Yes. And this is one that I just feel like, again, this is going towards... I can't where you're going, but how does this abortion ruling impact our child support laws? More importantly, from my thoughts and just what I'm seeing, why is this part not being discussed? You don't hear any of that noise on the TV. Like, at least it's real quiet, because, again, quoting one of my favorite poets, if you have a right to abort it, then as a man, I have the right to abandon it.
Not necessarily. So I understand.
And that's a pure logical conversation.
I understand. You know, saint. I understand. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we ain't got to the scriptures yet. I do understand. So I do understand that line of reasoning, though I don't fully agree with it.
Okay.
I don't fully agree with it, but I do understand that line of reasoning. So here's the problem. Some people do talk about it. Some people are. Here's what the craziest part about it is. Most states that that are pro-abortion are also states that have some of the most family-friendly legal policies when it comes to assistance for single mothers, when it comes to taking care of children and access to health care and things of that nature, things that support life. Mm-hmm. And most of the states that are anti-abortion and so-called pro-life states,
right,
the conservative states like Texas and Mississippi and whatnot,
yeah,
they have terrible arcane laws when it comes to the life of children.
The actual life.
The actual right. life of children. All of these discussions are connected. And the problem is, the reason why you don't hear the whole conversation is because it does not make for good politics. So normally, in order to, and working in immigration has taught me this.
So I did.
I don't anymore, but I worked in immigration for over 15 years. And watching and knowing the difference between how the immigration laws actually worked and how they talk about them in politics blew my mind. Blew my mind. When I realized that so many times when I would hear in presidential debates what the presidential candidates would say about immigration, it was flatly wrong. It was not true.
Yeah.
It was inaccurate. It was not how things really worked. Like, it would blow my mind. Like, that's wrong. That's not how that works. Like, they would mention, like, the primary visa I worked with was an H-1B visa. And they would call it by name and talk about what it does. Yeah. And that's not what it did. It's not who it was for. It's not how it worked.
Yes.
But that's not their job. Their job is to make you vote for them.
That's right.
And then it's somebody, once you voted for me, it's somebody else's job to then write the law.
Right.
So one of the reasons why all of the other implications of abortion or no abortion and the things that are connected to it aren't talked about is because politicians' job isn't to get you to understand the big picture. Their job is to get you to vote for them. So it's either my body, my choice, or you're killing a baby. That's all I want to talk about because those are emotional enough to move you to go vote. Because one of the things I realized about immigration is most of the time immigration isn't volatile enough to get people emotional enough to go to the polls. Like, for instance, it has recently changed in the last couple of years, but for the vast majority of the time I was working in immigration, the real immigration issue wasn't Mexicans.
Right.
It was Asian American.
Asian, yep.
From India and China.
Yep.
That was in the Philippines, that was the real immigration issue. That was the real illegal immigrant issue, is people from India overstaying their visas and being here illegally. However, this is the reason why that was never talked about in the presidential elections. That statistically more people, again at the time, this is different now, but at the time, for like from the early 2000s all the way to maybe like 2017, more Mexican people were leaving the United States than were coming in.
Okay.
But it is an emotional thing when you see video of Mexican people running across the border. Where very few people will get emotional enough to get up and get a picket sign, get up and sign people up to go vote because of Rajesh that's living in an apartment next door to them. That just ain't emotional. I'm just being real. An Indian immigrant don't cause the same kind of emotional reaction as somebody that feels like Mexico, which is right there, the proximity to us and the seeming real threat because it's so close creates a more emotional response. So I'd rather talk about that, even though it's not really a problem right now. But that's what's going to get you to the
polls. They're taking our jobs.
Right. Exactly. When we can't... Come on, Justin, don't make me do that. But So that one of the reasons why. So the first reason why is because it's not good for politics.
Yeah.
Which is why the Supreme Court is not supposed to be doing politics.
Correct.
Politicians do politics. That's what they do. That's what they say. It's not the president's job. He's not a legislator. He's not supposed to talk specifics of laws. He's supposed to get you to vote for him. Mm-hmm. Tell you how it's going to be good for you and why you should agree with him. That's his job.
Yeah.
The legislators are supposed to be crafting laws that produce the outcomes we said the president said he was going to produce. And the judicial branch is supposed to be separate from all of that. Look at each case, the facts of it, and see what the Constitution as a framework of the kind of society we're trying to produce, make judgments about.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem also that we're having is we have a very poor civic education in this country. Most people don't really understand how our government works.
Uh-huh.
Most people really don't understand how morality works. Genuinely, I mean, like, we don't have a good civic education because we have a very secular society.
Yeah.
We don't have a good understanding of how morals even work. Because if what makes something moral, that's the question of the day. What makes something moral? What makes it moral? What makes it right?
Mm-hmm. It just is, right? We just know.
Now, depending upon who you ask.
And I would say that's the societal overviewing standpoint of just, like, if you were to ask somebody, what is morality?
Mm-hmm.
I think they would have a hard time giving you a definition other than just, you know.
Yes. So the specific, this is, and there's a book, and I mentioned it in the message, it's called The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt. It's a tough read at times.
Wait, Jonathan who?
Haidt. Haidt.
You gotta enjoy the ironicity of that, right?
Yes. Haidt. But he's talking about the development of morality and in it. And I think some people might pronounce his last name Haidt. You know, as a reader, mispronunciation happens.
Yes.
So as an aside, because somebody mispronounces a word does not mean that they are ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It may mean that they're a reader. And when you read, you don't always know the right way words are pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
So people presume mispronunciation means you're ignorant or foolish. No, I mispronounce words all the time because I've only read it in my head. I've never heard anybody else say it.
You have to just
I'm guessing at how it's pronounced because I've read it.
Especially a name.
And no, any word that's not regularly used.
Right.
Because the English language is so weird in how it creates pronunciation. It's not consistent all the time. So any word you don't hear, you read. I get most of my vocabulary from reading.
Mm-hmm.
So I may have not heard anybody say it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just haven't heard. So I just make up how I, in my mind, okay, that's what I'm rolling with. So mispronunciation isn't necessarily a form of ignorance. Who's ignorant is people that know how to pronounce a word but don't really know what it means because they only heard somebody say it and they presume what it means. Mm-hmm. But many of us that are readers, I mispronounce words all the time because I read words most people don't say. You ain't never heard of Jonathan Haidt, have you? So you can't tell me he ain't been on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, so you can't tell me how his name is pronounced.
Cannot.
I read his book, though.
You did.
So somebody might call me dumb because I mispronounced his name, but I read his book, The Righteous Mind, How Morals Are Created. And, you know, they listening to Rush Limbaugh. R.I.P. So that was an aside. Don't make presumptions on people because they mispronounce. They might be readers.
I think his name should stay as Haidt for this conversation.
Haidt, whatever you want. The Righteous Mind, How Morals Are Produced. Is really the question here. And the thing that makes United States and most Western countries challenging is that we believe, and we are pretty much some of the only societies in the history of the world that believes moral is something individual.
Mm-hmm.
That the individual and how it benefits, hurts, harms, and how the individual feels about something is what makes it moral.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the wrench in this whole thing is because historically in the whole of human history, moral has been us, not me.
Correct.
What makes something moral is what it means for us, what it means for how our society is going to flourish. Even more so what it means for us to compete with the society next door to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's when morals can get real sketchy. and, yeah. and throws a lot of people off because it's not just about us being good. It's about us being better than who's next to us.
Absolutely.
Because competition is a part of civilization. You can't flourish unless you can win.
Correct.
So winning also becomes moral. So it's a very new development to try to create a society where moral is me and not we. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. why you have a difficult time with people being able to define morality, because I get to have my own.
Mm-hmm.
It's me, as opposed to what makes it moral is what it means for us and how our society will flourish, be healthy, and beat the society
yeah.
next to us. Because we talk about how we're going to beat China. We can't, because we're not talking about we.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, as much as, and I'm not saying the things that they do is right
yeah.
in how they govern, but China is talking about China beating the U.S.
Right, 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 right.
You can't win if everybody just does me. Them. I do yeah. me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have the best players. You're talking about USA basketball going over there and getting their tail kicked in the Olympics, you know, because best individual players, but everybody doing me.
Right.
Right, so one of the reasons why, so I say that to say the idea of morality being about me instead of we is how you can get an issue isolated, because I don't have to extrapolate it out to how it affects the dad, because I ain't talking about we. I'm talking about me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't have to look any further than the decision the individual has to make. Because that's how I'm defining morality. I don't have to look further at its implications. Now, when people don't like your decision, then they challenge you to look further at the implications.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My body, my choice. Well, if your choice, then I can abandon the baby. Mm-hmm. You know? But that's not a consistent moral framework.
Right. And see, I think that's two different. The point of it is it's one bad moral meeting another bad moral. You know, like, all right, you can abort it. And I can abandon it. So it's more so a two wrongs not making a right.
Sure.
And quote unquote fairness of it in the sense of, if I don't want to have the baby, but you want to have the baby, but you have a right to not have the baby,
mm-hmm.
I should have that same right. Is what that creates. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. And that's why you want to talk about, and that's a whole other conversation, our American obsession with a right. As opposed to what is right
mm-hmm.
and what is ethical.
Mm-hmm.
This American obsession with it's my right, brother.
Right.
It's almost like a mental illness at this point, which is why I said the Supreme Court doing this interpretation of the Constitution about the rights that the Constitution either grants or doesn't grant
yeah.
versus making judgments on what is actually right is one of the things that's going to be the undoing of this country, because you have a right to a gun, but you don't have a right to food.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have a right to a gun, but you don't have a right to a place to live in this country. And it's this crazy way of looking at rights, and a court will bring a case in front of them regarding food or shelter and not make a ruling in favor of shelter or food, because technically there is no right to it listed in the Constitution. And we have mass killings all over this country. And they say, but the Constitution gives you a right to that, instead of looking at a case and saying this is the right thing to do.
Right.
But that's different than the immediate question on the table is, right, you get those competing rights. It's your right to do that
yeah.
equals my right to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But neither one of us are actually talking about
what's right.
What's right.
Yes.
Nor we don't have the framework in an individualist, such an individualistic society
yeah.
to say, well, what's really the right thing for the society?
Yeah.
Because even if she has a baby that you didn't want to have,
mm-hmm.
what's right for us is what? The baby is taken care of. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what's right for us. I understand for you, you can be mad that she owned the choice mm-hmm. to bring the baby into the world. And for you as an individual, mm-hmm. you could feel like that shit,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to, she chose to, that's on her. But for us as a society, for us to flourish, for us to grow, for us to compete and be better than the civilizations and societies next to us, mm-hmm. it's for that baby to, it's here.
Yeah.
Dad, take care of it. Like that, that's, if you have a healthy moral framework of what it means for something to be moral, even before we get into the scriptures, then everything will fit into that and agree with that. And it goes before that crossroad because, you know, you ain't, you made a decision to have that baby before she got pregnant, but
yeah,
I'm sure we'll get there.
That's exactly going to what you mentioned about our sexual ethics and how we got to that. But just before we move on from there, my personal Justin's thoughts
to
that is when this conservative courts make a decision on that, I am not a fan of fake conservatism. Like, they're not really pro-life, as you spoke and said, because it seems like a greater excuse, again, for them to lock up more blacks and start with, again, this whole child support laws. It gets into that slope of child support.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able, once I take child support, now I can lock you up, throw you in jail, and take away voting rights,
mm-hmm.
like we talked about, mass incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
It's another way to, in my mind, cripple black society economically.
Sure.
And like you said, the states that are pro-life are not pro-supporting life once they're there. So now I can further cripple
sure.
black society
mm-hmm.
and create another black household without a father.
Mm-hmm.
Do I agree? Yes, the black father just has to step up and do his job because he did make the decision to lay with said woman and all that. Absolutely. But I feel like the framework and the decision behind it is more pointing towards that and an
sure.
opportunity to create more employees in
yeah.
jail cell six.
No doubt. But it, but here's the thing, and this is, and again, and it, I don't even want to get too deep into it because it'll bore our listeners.
Fair.
That, and because you asked the question of why aren't these things really talked about, right. is because morality is really any, it's a long thread that's woven into a whole tapestry. So if you pull on one thing, you know, you ever had a string loose on your sweater and you pull on it,
yep,
and it just keeps
coming and coming,
keep coming out longer, 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 longer. If you keep pulling long enough, you might unravel half your sleeve. That's really, like, if you're really looking at this the way it's supposed to, whatever issue you pull on, it, you keep pulling because it's not just, it's even like, let's talk about child support. You pull on that, the real, the other issue on the other side of that, if most men that have dealt with child support, it ain't really that they got to support their child. Mm-hmm. It's how our child support laws work.
Mm-hmm.
So you pull further. I don't just get to say child support or no child support. The next pull says, well, how do our child support laws actually work? Are they fair?
Mm-hmm.
Are they right? Are they in favor of the mother or the dad? Do they put the dad? Like, you keep pulling and you, well, how do we handle custody?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then how do we view male and female?
Mm-hmm.
Is it patriarchal or matriarchal? Is it chauvin? Like you just keep pulling, and that, like, most people will tune out. They tuned out once I got past, you know, does it favor the mom or the dad, right? But to really create healthy moral frameworks is you have to constantly be taking the next step of the next implication, and it's long, arduous, complicated work that progresses, that moves back. You make laws that you think are going to help and you find out they make it worse, so you got to go back and fix it.
Yeah.
And it's not great for headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another reason why our political system is broken, because social media has made our legislation about headlines as opposed to the arduous work of doing and writing those 30, 40, 50, 60, 150, 200 page laws.
Yeah.
Regulations and pieces, you know, pieces of legislation.
Yeah.
Now you got dummies there that know how to make headlines.
Yep.
Right?
Very
That's
true.
What got them elected, is because they could make a headline, not because they could write a good piece of legislation. So that's an aside, but that's one of the ways our political system is breaking, because you got genuine dummies. Before, you could have a few, but you had a lot of brainiacs as well that could write good law. headlines in law because you have to see all the implications of it for it to actually be good legislation. Same way for it to be more moral, you got to consider how it connects to us, our flourishing, and our ability to win. So that's why I say I don't fully agree with the whole idea of if she gets to choose to bring it in the world, I don't have to support it because that isn't moral.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree. It's not a moral statement. It's just a counterintuitive point to this overall.
But I get it. Trust me, I get it.
And again, the whole crux of it comes down to the morality, right? Because this is how we got here. We're reframing and revisiting our morality, and we're reclaiming a new, you know what? That is moral, the right thing to do. So who's morality, and how are we determining morality in these situations? Yeah. And furthermore, kind of know the answer, I would hope, but how should we, within a society, framework our morality?
So there's two answers to that.
Okay.
In the United States, this is a pluralistic government.
Yep.
All of us aren't going to agree on what's the right thing.
Correct.
All of us aren't going to have the same set of morals. And we've agreed to be together, even though we don't all have the same moral frameworks.
Yep.
And that is why all of our branches of government have to work together to create a framework. The Constitution is the framework that says this is what we believe about the society. So if you come to America, you're coming here to generally agree with this framework. Life, liberty, in the pursuit of happiness. That's what we do here. We believe in freedom. We believe in liberty. And we believe you have the right to pursue happiness. Like, that's what we do here. Now, how is that defined? How free are you really? Hey, that's why legislators draft up laws and judicial branch says whether they fit this framework. And we, some of us will be happy and some of us will be sad. And some of us will agree and some of us will disagree. That's a pluralistic society. Some of us will have to do things that are counter to what the laws say. Mm-hmm. And that's doing things that the law says is illegal or not doing things that the law says is legal. That's part of a pluralistic society. If I don't think having abortion is right, I don't have one, even if the law says it's legal. You know, so in America, I don't think the Bible per se should be how we determine our laws. However, where I get my morality from is where I get my morality from. Just because you made yours up in your heart and I read mine in the Bible does not make yours any more valid than mine. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's one of the challenges we're having today is people think just because they made theirs up out of nowhere and I got mine from the Bible, theirs is more valid in the public square than mine is. No, you bring yours that you got out of your mind to the public square. I bring mine that I got out of the scripture to the public square. Let's win hearts and minds and let's see who the masses decide to go with. Like, that's just that. That's how a pluralistic society works. I get to bring wherever I got it.
Right.
I get to bring it to the public square. But right now they're trying to say, you keep your religion at home with you. Don't bring that into the public square. No. I don't believe that. No. If enough Muslims come here, we're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
I believe it's like Dave Chappelle. I heard him giving a talk about people wanting them to shut up and, you know, not say these things. And he said, just make a special better than mine. Just beat me. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Make a comedy special better than mine. Beat me. If you can beat me, beat me. That's really what the public square is about. It's not about saying you can't say that. It's saying you say that, I say what I have to say. Who wins? Beat me. Like, that was his thing. If you really think I shouldn't say what I say, don't tell me to shut up. Shut me up. Beat me. So don't tell me don't bring the Bible into the public square. Beat me. Is really what it boils down to. That's I don't think. I think. Well, let me say this. I think these new age individual morality driven people know they can't win in the results. So that's why they don't just don't, you can't bring it. They have to delegitimize and say it's illegitimate. It doesn't belong here about your views, because we can't actually beat them in public square. Because pretty much every type of morality that they've introduced has just been a disaster. It's been a disaster. Single parenthood, disaster. Easy divorce, disaster. Sex, hookup culture, disaster. Not just a disaster for the saints, disaster for them. So, but we don't want to lose. So don't bring your God-determined morals into the public square. I don't know if that was really the answer to your question, but that's, that's where we at right now. Is I believe God is, I personally believe God is the source of morality. Without him, there is no objective morality. There's just all of our preferences, right? Like there's just all of our preferences.
Right. And I think that points to like maybe my very first question, like why do we all believe murder is illegal? Like when you really get to the base of it, I know it sounds so simple because we all just agree to it, but where did you get that idea? Like who told you that and then told them, etc.? But that being said, I do want to pick on that and play counter when you talk about just beat me, right? Well, people have different ways they like to win. And per se may not be in the court of public opinion and doing it fair. But one way of beating you is to quiet you up and shun you in a corner somewhere instead of letting you say what you... Like they didn't want Jesus to... you know, get out there and keep talking because they saw he was getting back. So that is a age old way of winning.
It is.
Right?
That's what culture wars are about.
And that's what we see happening, right? Like there are certain words we cannot say on this podcast if we want to continue with our jobs, careers, and livelihoods.
Indeed.
That's them winning in certain senses of it. So
you're right.
As far as when that goes, like, How do we step up in that area of getting our voices out there? Because again, that's one of the main things as saints we should be doing, right? Is broadcasting the masses, taking the gospel to all four corners, et cetera, et cetera. So when it comes to trying to get our morality at the forefront, and like, and I guess especially in a situation where we can almost, I would say, sneak in, like, yeah, this Roe versus Wade has created it. And it's really not talking about what we're talking about, but it did create an opportunity for saints to get out there.
Yeah.
How would you suggest, or how would you go about in interjecting a little bit more of our morality?
Yeah. So first let me respond to the idea of winning, you know, as you,
we've had a couple good conversations on the word winning specifically. Yes. Yeah.
As you say, you are right. That is one way to win. Is to let's not even make, I'm not even going to let you make your argument. And that is one way of winning, but let's call it what it is. It's not an intellectual win. It's not a win on the merits. And if you shut me up rather than hearing me out is because you fear that your argument really doesn't have merit. And then let's be clear about that. Let's be clear about that then. It's because you don't believe your argument has merit, because one of the difference between, well, one of the difference between, and I don't want to go back too far, but we talk about how black people are kind of the linchpin of how and the way.
Yeah.
A lot of the gains black people had to make through the civil rights movement and the gains that we had to make up through the 60s in order to win our rights, very different than the kind of gains that happen now using our same framework.
Okay.
Is because black people couldn't win a campaign of pressure, of making people lose jobs, of being able to keep them from getting movies deals and, you know, loans. We couldn't apply the same kind of pressure that modern day so-called civil rights movements can apply.
Correct.
Right. To shut down.
Twitter has got some power.
Twitter has power and white people have power. So that's that's the difference between the arguments of the day. Is you got white people on both sides of them, right? So you got white people in the name of being a minority, in the name of being oppressed, still having a type of power that black people never had. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that they aren't facing some kind of discrimination and challenges, but they still possess a kind of power mm-hmm. that black people never possessed. Even if you talk about white women who were the biggest recipients of affirmative action and its gains, was there patriarchy in this country? And were women, you know, oppressed in a certain way? Absolutely. But mm-hmm. those white women were still rich, living in the homes and living in the spoils of those white men that were making
yes.
all the money. They had and have a certain kind of power and access to power and influence that black people never had, male or female, right? So to make the gains that black people made through argument, through deliberation, through influence, through convincing, through changing minds, through changing hearts, that Martin Luther, through dying,
right?
That, like, that's very different than the kind of movements to shut down arguments or to shut down mm-hmm. thoughts that happens today.
Right.
And it's a win. I'm not, but it's a very different mm-hmm. kind of win. It's not a win on the merits, which is why I believe, you know, it's not going to bode well for the future, because mm-hmm. you won not on the merits.
Yeah.
Because right is right, and right produces good fruit.
Right.
So I had to revisit that whole idea of winning. I have a short answer to the idea of what we need to do to get
yes
out there. I didn't forget the question.
All right.
Is Christians always have two fronts that we should be working on. I do believe we should be involved in politics to a degree. Mm-hmm. We bring our thoughts, our ideas to this political sphere. We try to win the debates. We try to win the arguments. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, hey, this is the country we live in.
Right.
However, our real job is to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the real job. And we lose when we put the political argument above the responsibility to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hid.
Right.
And
right.
I feel like that's where we've lost and are losing right now.
I feel
now.
Like we have let that get into, blend into Roe v. Wade. Right?
Absolutely. Like, well, so you got, everybody got to go back to listen to my Bible class on June 28th. I've been trying not to
revisit and have that exact same
revisit
conversation.
That because
I just want people to go
a
listen.
Lot of church people on both sides, we weren't the city set on the hill. We were no. we were just political argue. We
right.
were part of the political discourse, absolutely. Whether that you were for abortion or against abortion, or for the right to choose or against the right to choose, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
We were just political actors, but we had no city to point to.
Correct.
I feel like that felt preachy to me. Because really what you're supposed to, the strength of our argument really should not just be rhetorical.
Yes.
We should be pointing to the city.
Yeah, talk about the city.
That lives out the godly principles that have been established for us. Like, that's really supposed to be our loudest argument. Mm-hmm. Is we live these principles and look at what they produce. That's what's supposed to be the volume, like the city, mm-hmm. that government. And it speaks of Jesus, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, like how we govern our city.
Yeah.
And I ain't talking about the city of Warren. I'm talking about this body of believers. These morals govern this city, and look what this city produces.
Yeah.
It should be a bright light shining amongst the darkness of these depraved moral reasonings. That's supposed to be our loudest argument, not the fact that we can donate to political funds, you know,
yeah.
the loudest, or march around the White House or the Capitol
yeah.
the most. It our loudest argument is supposed to be the city.
Yeah.
It's on a hill. You can't hide it. Look at it. Who wouldn't want that outcome? Do you want that outcome? This is how you get that outcome. And we have decided that America is supposed to be that city on a hill, and that's a lie. Because for many, that's why yes. they direct their energy towards politics, is because
yeah.
they believe the United States is the city on a hill.
Yep.
And it's not.
Yep.
It is a pluralist society that does have biblical foundations, that does have a law that finds its root in Judeo-Christian values. All true.
Yep.
But it ain't the city.
Yep.
It ain't the city. So to me, to get loud is to get very, very serious about getting in community and your family and larger and being very determined to live out whatever it is you say and you believed the Bible has to say about morality and watching that produce fruit that feeds the world and that points to the rightness of what we believe. I think a lot of our Christianity has lost its poignancy in the world is because we can't argue the rightness. We haven't produced the fruit to say what God says is right. So to me, that's how we're supposed to amplify our voices is being serious about being a city.
Okay.
That can't be hit.
There we go. All right. I like it. I like it. I want to have you go into your spiritual takeaway, but before I, if there anything else that you had there with that one, or you want to kind of just land that with the spiritual takeaway?
Yeah, I'm okay, I'm good.
That's good. Okay. Because I want to also talk about, again, if you have anything on this one, again, message us. Let's talk. Revisit and listen to the 6:28 Bible study. A lot of good stuff in there. And like I said, I didn't want to recap that. One thing I did take from there was that you said people listen very flatly.
Yes.
We had a whole podcast on that. We did. Listen up. That was the title of it. Listen up.
We did, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes.
So it's all interconnected.
Yes.
This is it. It's all consistent and interconnected. So
I normally I'm not making stuff up on the fly. Like I have a pretty consistent thought process. Even though it may feel and sound scatterbrained at times, it's generally born out of a pretty consistent worldview.
Yeah, it's perfect that it would just tie together.
Yeah.
And that, like I said, a Bible study with like you said, you were shocked, which doesn't happen often.
It does.
That's where you can listen to some of those things, but then listen to some of the roundness that we got into today with this, because it's this is a telling time that we're in, and if you're not paying attention, you're gonna miss some things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that this is just a little drop to a podcast that we've been discussing that we're gonna get into eventually, and our sexual ethics podcast, especially within the Christian faith.
Yeah,
that is definitely things that all tie into this, because again, why do you need an abortion? If we're talking about morality and sexual ethics within the faith, it's not really a conversation.
It shouldn't be,
you know. So that's something that we're gonna dig into. I'm not saying next week
or it shouldn't be often. Like I said on that Tuesday Bible class, let's just make sure we're talking about what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm down to talk about what we're really talking about.
Yeah.
When it comes to abortion and the times, you know, somebody need one, let's talk about what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm for women's choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I think, and that was something, I love how your dad said it, because this is something I deal with when I deal with certain people. God is pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he's pro-life, but he's pro-choice first.
Mm-hmm.
Pro-choice. So I know all the Christians want to go, but he's pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes this whole thing a relationship. But that being said, go listen to 6:28 Bible study.
Yes.
Then jump into this. And chew it up, spit it at us, and tell us what you got.
Indeed.
Now, a little bit of fun here, folks. A little bit of fun. We'll keep it quick because we kept you a little longer than we had planned on.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Dorian.
Okay.
You're a proper fella. You know, you speak proper.
Do
you know?
I? I don't think I speak that proper.
You have a pretty good command of the English language.
If need be.
And from time to time, we growing up, as Negroes in America are not supposed to speak proper. It's just not allowed, apparently. But is there something even more specific, but that you feel like if listeners hear this, they're going to come after your black card?
Speaking of how I speak, I can speak very proper if need be. But I don't think I speak in the way a lot of people that, like, I don't get accused of talking white, but I would always use words that most people didn't use.
Okay.
So I would mix it in. So, and just, you know, I laughed about this. Like, even when I was younger, And it would, and a lot of it again comes from reading, not necessarily listening to people talk, but reading.
Yeah.
And so I, again, I'm talking normal. We out here kicking it. We trying to talk to girls or do whatever. And I'm like, yeah, what we getting into? What we about to do? Okay. But that would be rather difficult for us to do. And they would, everybody would stop like, that would be what?
What?
Rather difficult. It would almost just be weird. Like, it wouldn't necessarily be white. It would be, yeah, that was just weird, bro. Yeah. Like, what did you, you know? But and I still get that to this day. Like, that's just weird. I don't think I'm gonna call it white, but yeah, that you just said that is weird.
You have the vocabulary.
Yes. Yeah, just yeah. And again, it would be the influence from reading, because it wouldn't even always be the way other people spoke. Yeah. It would be how what I read is phrased. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think if people knew this about Pastor Dorian, the people in the culinary arts department here at LAM know it, and they know it well, and it frustrates them. I pretty much have shut down the whole culinary arts department. Like, they don't even try to do nothing no more, because I don't really eat soul food. Like, really?
How you gonna be the pastor and not get the big piece of chicken?
Listen, bro.
What?
Honestly, like, ask my cousin Betty, who is responsible for making plates, and she would say, yeah, Pastor Dorian is not gonna get the standard prototypical pastor's plate. Because what? I just, like, I don't, greens.
Greens?
No candy greens. Yams.
You don't like greens?
No.
You don't like candy yams?
No. Watermelon? No. Yeah, most fish. No.
Watermelon.
No watermelon. I'm a pass.
You don't eat ninja pie.
I do not. Like, I can, but that ain't, nope.
Like, y'all should see his face thinking about tasting some good old fashioned ninja pie right now.
Nope. Wow. What's sweet potato pies, black eyed peas? Pass. Mac and cheese might be the only quote unquote soul food,
man,
your boy get with. I'm gonna pass on the rest of that.
Well, we're gonna have to take that to the people and see.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not. Even most so, like,
do you like eat mayonnaise on everything?
I'll eat mayonnaise on my sandwich. Oh. I'm a Miracle Whip guy, really, though. Oh. Like, okay. But
will you eat a mayonnaise sandwich?
Come on, fam. See what they'll do to you. See what they will do to you.
There's a whole,
that's
movie
gross.
On this,
come on,
called
man.
Brother,
almost,
man.
I almost threw up a mayonnaise sandwich. That's gross, Justin.
Cucumber sandwich.
No.
All right.
No.
Just, all right.
No. I don't eat white. I just don't eat.
Yeah, you see, I went all the way there.
I'm eating a cucumber. I forget me. I didn't mean I don't eat white. Cucumber sandwiches are normally found in white homes, though. But, like, I don't eat avocado, everything, avocado toast. Like, I don't, I'm not saying I have that kind of, but I just don't eat.
Okay.
Like, I'm Thanksgiving dinner. Like, yeah, I'm just pretty much not eating much, most of that's out there.
Okay.
Don't take offense. All of the graduation parties that's going on, just don't be offended when Pastor Dorian don't pile up a big plate. I just don't get down like that. If soul food is the menu.
Oh, okay. All right.
What about you, Justin? What's getting your black card revoked? Because you ain't the most hood talkingest cat in the world either. Let's be clear on this. Off the east side, somehow.
From the east,
yeah,
side.
Well, straight from the east. But you.
Yep.
So let's be clear on that.
So I definitely got that growing up all the time. You talk white.
How like, what do you
talk
think?
White.
Where do you, like, how and where does that difference in your diction and enunciation, how is it different than those that you grew up around?
Eastsiders, you know, people just spoke with a little bit more slang.
I'm saying, you know, you, like, don't sound like most cats from the east side. Like, how?
Right. Why?
Yeah, why?
I grew up in a house where you, like, my mother would kill me if I said the word foe instead of four. You know, like, just speaking proper English. And I went to what would have been considered a good school, and I just got good grades, and I just did what I was told, so I spoke that way. But, like, I never felt like I talked different or spoke different. People would say it, and I'd be like, and in my mind, seriously, the whole time growing up, I thought there was something wrong with everybody else. Like, y'all some idiots. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the one getting A's and you not. So you're the dummy. So it was a little
but
bit of
But it would be ignorance. Your mother that was correcting your, or your mother spoke proper English and would correct you if you
did
something
different.
What's funny,
she speaks kind of country. And she's got country twang being from Arkansas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she didn't let me slur and speak, you know, and get out. And like, I can't even like pretend to speak a different way other than like jokes making like mm-hmm. really offensive stuff. Like, I can't just off the top of my head speak improper mm-hmm. into... Nah,
I can do it very easily.
Now I can't. I was very good at manipulation of curse words and implanting them in the proper times to offend people.
Mm-hmm.
I was very good at that. Haven't used that skill set in a while. But as far as like dropping myself into like sounding like if I'm like it hanging out.
Yeah, I've never heard you sound any different than, and we've known each other in very different formats and settings than church settings. And I never heard you use a different
it just,
way of speaking.
And I don't even know how to change it. So like it's one of those things I can't really fully answer mm-hmm. other than just that's just who I am.
Yeah.
So that would be like one of the things, but I felt like I handled it so like you want to scrap and find out? That was
I'm from the East.
Like but the bigger one would be when I say I hate Frank's hot sauce. That would be my black card.
Dang, bro. Yeah.
Like it hot water. Like, why are we just making food hot? There's no flair. It's literally like, and I like spicy food,
mm-hmm.
but not Frank's. Trash. Like, you know, they'll make like Frank's flavored hot wings and stuff.
And with it, because it's just heat, not flavor.
It's zero flavor. It's just hot water. Frank's is my biggest anti-black thing as far as food.
I can imagine somebody coming for your card if you don't want to put Frank's.
Yeah, like if we at the spot and like.
What's the other kind of hot sauce? There's another, I can't remember the name.
A black one, you saying?
Yeah, black people use it.
Tabasco?
Yeah. Whatever, because I'm not a big hot sauce eater. Because again, I'm not.
I'm more into like the Mexican spices. And I know I'm about to, if some of my friends are just from college, I'm going to get clowned for that one. But like, I like hot food, hot spice. Like I had jambalaya today and I had some zing to that. If I get sushi, I'll go hard with the... what's the green stuff called? You don't need sushi, huh?
No, my wife does, but I don't. I like my food cooked.
Fair enough.
I'm kind of a fan of that.
It's one of the best spices because it clears your nostrils and you feel like you just got a real cold.
I hate that.
It's not
like horseradish. I don't even like that on my steaks. Yeah. Horseradish, I don't need my sinuses cleared up while I'm trying to eat. I'll pass. I'm good.
Okay, well, and then... I'm not a big fan of Indian food, but they will make their... Or there you go, Thai. Like, I'll get my Thai with some kick to it where I'm like, whew. But wasabi, that was the stuff that goes with like some wasabi flavored, even ranch dressing to go off the salad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got a different type of...
Frank's, right?
But Frank's with it. Hot.
Why
garbage.
Do you hate yourself, Justin? No, I'm just playing. Who taught you to hate yourself? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? To hate the cut of your nose? No, I'm just playing.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Two light-skinned cats talking about black cards. That's
Man,
how it is.
Listen, I never knew I was light-skinned, bro. I didn't find out I was light-skinned until like college. I know. In my house, I was on the brown side. And growing up and going to majority... white schools, black was just black. Like, we didn't have the opportunity to make the distinction because we were all just black. You know what I mean? But honestly, like, even in my family, we didn't do a lot of dark skin, light skin talk. Like, nobody got talked about for being dark skin. Like, we didn't.
Who's dark skin in your family?
No, I'm just saying, even. Head. I'm just saying, just in general.
Because
even my cousins and extended family, very much so, that's the thing. Or where we went to church, absolutely. But
fair
we
enough,
would never be the light-skinned cats going, man, he's dark-skinned. Like, that was just never even in the you know, even in the purview. Like, I didn't know, honestly, and it's almost like a naive thing. Till I got to college that there was a thing about light-skinned, dark-skinned. Didn't even know that was a thing.
Yes.
Didn't even know that was a thing. Yep. And I thought I was brown. Like, I'm kind of brown. Yeah, no.
I used to think I was a little darker than I am, too.
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, fair enough, folks. Have your vote. What is your black card loser? And should Pastor Dorian or Justin lose their black card for their lack of food dynamic.
Hey, man, you can't take it from me now. I'm 41. I'm a lifelong member.
Lifelong. All right, all right. Well, hey, real fun. Really enjoyed it. And looking forward to doing the next one. Folks, hit us up. Doe, I'll see you next time.
Watson, I get with you, brother.